Okay, Rabbi, we're back here learning Pei, Perek Rishon, Halacha Dalet, Daf Yud Bei Zoman Aleph, 12a. Klal Amar B'Pei, here's the rules with Pei. General rules. Kosher Hu Eichel, it has to be something that's eaten, meaning that it's normally eaten, it's not eaten only B'Shas Adchak, it's eaten regularly. Nishmar, it's guarded, meaning it's not Hefker. Okay, I just this minute I looked at my art scroll Yad Avram, which has extensive notes in every Mishnah. If you ever want to do Ian in a Mishnayas, this Yad Avram Perish is unbelievable. Anyway, so he brings down from Reb Chaim. What's the pshat? The pshat is like this. So you let me just as an experiment. I want to ask you, if I tell you that it has to be Nishmar to exclude Hefker, so what does that mean? No, I'm talking. Give me the case. Give me the case of Peah, which is putter from Peah. Give me the case where Peah is putter because of Hefker. What's the case?
You own a field, and you say it's not mine anymore.
So you're saying you own a field, and you're mafkir the field.
Right.
So the field grew a whole time, grew in your rishus, and before you harvested, you mafkir the whole field. And then what happens? Then what happens? Who starts to cut the field? Do you go cut the field?
Anybody who wants to.
So a third party cuts the field down. And that's. Okay, that's a case. That's a good case. Okay, so you have an objection to that, Rabbi? No. Okay, so we're saying. So we're saying this case, Nishmar, means what we're saying here is that if you are mafka the field before you cut it down and someone else comes and cuts it down, that will be potter from Hefker. Okay? Potter
from
Peah. I'm sorry.
Because it's not Nishmar.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Yeah.
I feel this is a draw
point. That is your case is a good case. It's not the only case. I will tell you that if it is possible for even you to create a case where you yourself are putter. In other words, you were very careful with your case. You made sure it was a third party that went ahead and was zocha in the field. But if you yourself went ahead and were chozer for zocha, person gets up in the morning, he's mafker his field, and then he goes outside after he has his breakfast and he's chozer for zocha bo, he's definitely chayv and peah. That we're all going to agree to, yes?
Yes.
But if you were mafker your field before it was heavy shlish, and then while it was in a state of hefker, it was heavy shlish, which is considered, when I said the first word, that I said kosher u'eichel, it's eaten, what that really is excluding is if the meichel has not reached a third. Once it's reached a third, that's considered onas maestris, and then it's considered a little bit edible. So, that's going to be the point of the chiyuv, okay? So if it was hefker before it had reached a third of its growth, and then it went over the third, and then you were chos of a zocher bo, potter from peah, because at the shas chiyuv of the peah it was hefker. Imagine that! I didn't know that. That's Reb Chaim. Okay.
It'd be the same thing if you bought it back from Hektish, depending on whose Rishus it was in when it got to that stage.
That's correct. Absolutely. That would be the same thing. Okay. I'm not paskening, but I just saw this 5 minutes ago, so it's not like I have a big yacht in it. There's a rivet that holds that the word hefker means that the min is hefker, meaning this is a type of food that grows in the wild. It's not cultivated. And if you had such a min, then even if you decided to cultivate it, it doesn't matter. I can't think of something like that. Does anybody know anything that grows in the wild?
Quinoa.
Okay, whatever.
Wild berries.
Some kind of wild berry. If you somehow or other decided to take this wild berry and grow a whole field full of it, you would be putter. According to the Ravid, you'd be putter from pay on that field because that's called hefker. All the Rishonim, most Rishonim are chalak on the Ravid, but I just want to let you know that there's two perushim. This is the way to make this stuff last a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, You can do lumen arets. It has to grow from the ground, meaning it has to have roots, as opposed to mushrooms, which I always say, there's a fungus among us. That's a mushroom, okay? That's no good. You're not chayev to give pay. What bracha do you make of mushrooms?
Shahakol.
L'kitaso ka'achas. It has to be gathered at once. It means it ripens, but generally the fruit of this will ripen as one. As opposed to, they say, a te'ena, what's that
fig,
called? A
te'ena?
A fig tree. They ripen at various different times, so you're being located one week, one group of figs, and then the same tree, you'll be located other figs. So this is not all at once, since it's not like you toss a ka'achas. So therefore...
By wheat, isn't it the concept of a summer wheat and a winter wheat?
Yeah, but when that's true. There's two seasons in which wheat grows. But when you do plant it, you harvest the whole thing at once. Okay? We're on 12a in the Mishnah. and when you gather it, it stays. It doesn't spoil, as opposed to vegetables such as cucumbers. Right, a cucumber or a tomato; those things have no shelf life. Right, they it's limited. One might say, "Oh, I know how I can make a cucumber last."
Pickle it.
So I and Reb Chaim Sefer, if you want to look into pickling, whether that makes a difference or not, I didn't look at it. No, a horseradish. You are correct. The bulbs such as there before from Mishnah, such as onions and beets and horseradish, all those are going to be chayev in payoff because they're not excluded. Yes, they're machnis lekim. So chayev payoff. You have all these. Well, these are five characteristics. Do we say here? I assume that there were five, right? Oichol, nishmar, gumen aretz, kizgachas, machnis lekim. That's five characteristics. Okay. Vahatavua. So grains, let's just assume the five grains that we talk about all the time. And kitnius and all the, how do you pronounce the word legumes?
Legumes.
Legumes. Legumes. There is no consensus on how to pronounce this word, and therefore I am not going to use that word. Beans. Beans. So beans are also in this category, meaning you go ahead and you can, you gather them as all at once, and they last, obviously. Beans last, right? Okay, very good. Then the Mishnayos, this is another Mishnah, okay? But in our Gemara, it's all together. Ubilon, if it's a tree, let's see, how are we translating this? What's it say over here?
Tree.
Oh, he's showing me legume or legume.
Legume.
Okay.
Or legume.
Thank you very much. Do I have this here on the side here? Oh, I can read it over here. So he says, Ha'og is a sumac, and charuvin are carobs. It goes in mashkein, walnuts, and almonds. Fun to remind about zaysim, atmarim, so grapevines, pomegranates, olives, and dates. Chayovim, bepeya, the chayvim, peya. Okay, so now you would think, we can just go weiter, right? There's nothing more to say about this Mishnah. One little thing we have to talk about this Mishnah, and that is all the things that we're saying here in this Mishnah, are they all chayav and peya d'oraisa, or perhaps some are d'oraisa and some are d'rabbanan?
Why would you differentiate?
Why would I differentiate? I don't know why I would differentiate, but the Rambam differentiates.
Let me get the safe off here.
No,
you don't have to get
I'm not prepared. I'm sorry. I had the Derech Emunah with me, but apparently, one second. I can have it right here. One second. He brings it down. Give me just one second while I locate it. It's a Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim. Let me just find it for you. Here it is. Rabbeinu Tam maintains. Okay, this is in the Yad Avram, page 30. Rabbeinu Tam maintains, according to biblical law, only grain, grapes, and olives are subject to peah. Minhag Torah.
That means harvest, concerning the laws of pay, is assumed to be a grain harvest, and vineyards and olive groves are mentioned explicitly. So since vineyards and olive groves are mentioned explicitly in the Torah, so therefore they are an exception to the rule, and they are chayav d'oraisa. Okay? And is only rabbinic law, the other species, which satisfy the five criteria we just mentioned, that the chayav. Rash and Rosh follow Rabbeinu Tam. However, Halachas Gedolos, Rambam, and others maintain all crops satisfying the five conditions of chayav d'oraisa. Okay, so it'll be interesting as we learn the Gemara. We're going to see in the Gemara just shortly that how there's certain psukim to bring out these different limudim, how, just to keep this machlokas in the back of our minds, Rabbeinu Tam holds, again, only the five grains and the trees, the fruits which are specifically mentioned explicitly, which are Gefanim and Zesim, those are the ones of Chayav D'oraisa. Other Rishonim hold all the minimum of Chayav D'oraisa. Okay? Very good.
The Gemara going to deal with why the Mishnah specifies Tevuah and Kiddush?
What's your question then? Let me change the question a little bit. Let's take Rabbeinu Tam's sheet of position for a minute. So, if you hold that only Tefuah is Chayav D'oraisa and Kiddush is going to be Drabbanan, so that might be a reason why they're broken apart. Because
they're grouped together.
They're grouped together, but it could be that's what Rabbeinu Kodesh wanted to put them as two separate words, even though they satisfy the five criteria, because they...
I mean, you would think once that everything that satisfies five criteria are in the same bucket.
Are in the same bucket, so Kamashma and the Mishnah, that they might be separated. Maybe that might be an answer, but on the other hand, they ask this as a question. In the last line of the Mishnah we just read, you notice that it says, Ug haruven egozim shkedim, tufanim rimonim zesim atmarim, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the only two in that list are Gefanim and Zesim are going to be Chayav D'oraisa. Notice how it's, and those are interspersed in the list. It's a little difficult. So that's going to be interesting. That's an interesting observation. Yeah. In fact, let's take a look right now at footnote 12. All these trees meet the five criteria. Indeed, many Rishonim hold that they are mentioned here merely as an example of trees that are obligated in payah. Any other tree similarly satisfies the criteria given above is also subject to payah. In other words, basically, we could ask a question, why is the Mishnah even bothering? Right? That's really your question. Now...
Right, it sounds like these and nothing else.
Now, one second. So that's what he brings over here. Tosfos and Reb and Malki Tzedek maintain only the eight trees enumerated here are subject to the law of payah. Other trees are not included, either because they're not harvested all at once or because they're not protected, and so on and so forth. Okay. Now, I may as well mention this other thing too. The other problem is, what about, we said that it has to not spoil, but yet we mentioned grapes. Grapes have a very short life. I mean, anybody who bought grapes for Shabbos, have them left over, no, they're barely edible the next Shabbos. It gets all, you know, shul, even with refrigeration. So why is that considered, let's maknisa l'kiyum? Some answer, wine. That's one answer, correct?
Olives also, same thing.
And olives can be made into oil, you mean?
Meaning like by truma, like the ikar pri is not...
Yeah, so you're saying, okay, I hear, very good. So some say that that's the answer. It's because it's wine, therefore it's not hizul kimah. Some say you can make it into a raisin. You can dry it out, make it into a raisin, and raisins last a long time. So that's an important thing to note. Yeah.
So Simcha is a good question.
Yes.
So you should include all fruit trees.
Because fruit can be dried out? Well, we actually... Uh-huh.
Do they all ripen at the same time?
Let's leave it alone now.
You think they're talking about table grapes or they're talking about wine grapes?
Does it make a difference?
Yeah.
Why does it make a difference?
Back then there was no such thing as non-wine grapes.
Why does it make a difference?
Wine grapes really come all in at the same time. The harvest is much different. thing that comes in all at the same time?
They come in, you know, around September, October
right, the
time. That's when they become
only grew grapes
right.
To make wine.
In northern New York, anyway.
The times of the Mishnah only grew grapes to make wine. They didn't grow grapes to refrigerate and sell at the fruit store.
Okay.
Thing.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't live then. I saw a flyer once that they dug out of the Cairo Geniza. Mm-hmm. It had like an advertisement, but I didn't look at it. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Okay, so it says in the pasuk, I only know kotzer. Kotzer, I mean you use a tool, a sickle to cut it down. Tolish minayin, how do I know what? That if you pluck it by hand, then it's also chayv in peyah, tamloimer liktzar. So we have a pasuk. Now we're on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We could be finished this in 2 minutes if you want. Oh, it's 8:48. Maybe we'll go 100%. Okay, minayin, how do you know if you go ahead and you uproot the entire plant? Tamloimer kitzircha. Another pasuk, okay? Now, ainli el tvua, I only know grains, kidney is nine. How do I know?
Legumes.
Very good. Tamalimar Artzachem.
Be Artzachem.
He has the base in parentheses for some reason. So the idea here in the footnotes, it seems to indicate that because these grow close to the ground, that apparently is. So that's closer, I guess, in its concept to be like grain.
It does not say the
Artzachem. Yeah, okay. Ilonas minayim, how do I know the fruit-bearing trees? Tamalimra sodecho. It says your field. So there's an end to this limud, which isn't quoted in our Gemara. In the footnote 11, he mentions this, that the Gemara doesn't cite the concluding sentences of the Braisa, which says, you might think that the vegetables, pumpkins, melons, cucumbers are all included. So it's like the grain is like it has those five criteria. Right, and we have all those. You see, so we have there's a whole extension to this price, which isn't quoted here. Some people insert this and some people don't, whatever it is. Next, Tony. Zorin Zoran Vizari Ilon Kachas. Now we're talking about, we're going to have a little diversion from Peya, talk a little bit about Klayim. It gives you a little preview of what it's going to be like. It's not pretty. It says you can plant seeds and vegetables or anything for that matter, whatever. You can plant seeds and zarei elon, tree seeds. So I can put a fruit tree, like an apple. Let's just take two examples, right? Take a wheat seed and an apple seed, and you can plant them together. There's no problem with klayim whatsoever. No problem. Okay, you can put vegetables or grains and seeds or trees together as one. No prohibition. Pahazoreyam in hakartzanim. If someone plants grape seeds together with grain or vegetable seeds, lo karbon, you get malchus. Because l'sirz ra karmo chokalayim. Okay, I'm Rav Zeir. So let's see what it says over here. There's a lot of stuff here. The footnotes talk about a lot. I'm going to just tell you, there's a machlokas. In the bottom, he mentions machlokas, the famous, this is like the most famous machlokas about Klayim, so you have to know it. So it's the machlokas of Yonason or Yoshir. Yonason holds that if you have one seed of a grain, or one seed, any type of seed that's not a grape, and a grape, that if you have a grape seed and a wheat seed, and you plant them, that's Klayim, and you get malchus. Again, let me back up a second here. When I say these, it's only Osir in this way. I'm talking about when you get malchus for this. I'll explain in a second what I mean by that. So this machlokas is when you get malchus. So Rabbi Yonason holds to the clay hakam that if you mix one species with grapes, you get malchus. Rabbi Yoshia disagrees. He says what? That you have to have two seeds. Actually, is a shnei zerainim v'charson v'vasachas. You have to do two seeds and the grape seed, so it's three seeds together. V'vasachas. What does together mean?
One throw.
You throw it down on the ground, and as long as they are within the proximity when they hit the ground, that they're within the shear that asers for klayim, that's called ka'achas. Reb Chaim, I saw just now, about 15 minutes ago, he also mentions that even if you do it at separate times, if I threw down the grape seed today, and before it takes root, I throw down the other two seeds, that's also the same chiyuv. I didn't know that. I thought it had to be all done at once, but... What's that?
The Gemara says Mapolosechet, one throw.
Yeah, and he says that that's called one. He says even though it's not physically one, you take one seed today and another seed tomorrow, as long as they haven't taken root, that's called... Anyway, bottom line is, so this is a basic machlokas. Do you have to have two seeds or is even one seed? And we paskin like the second sheet, that you have to have two seeds in order to be chayav malchus. Okay? That does not mean that if I had a grapevine that was already planted in the ground, I'm not talking about planting it. It already was growing. And I come and I plant something next to the grapevine that's not its species. So even though you won't get malchus for that, but once it's Hoysef Masayim, it becomes also Bahanoah, it becomes a Klayakara. So I'm not saying it's not Klayim. I'm saying we're having this machlokas, we're talking about whether you're Chayav Malchus or not. We're gonna wait until we learn Klayim to get into this detail. But this is all I wanted to mention this now. Okay, so Ksiv lo sizra kamacho klayim. Irka kamacho lo sizra klayim. That means that since it doesn't, the way they masber this drasha, that since it doesn't, it said in the other pasuk, sadacha lo sizra klayim. So why did it say the same structure, kamacho lo sizra klayim? Instead, it says lo sizra kamacho klayim, instead of putting the noun first at the beginning of the pasuk. So from that we learn that what? That the making of the karam should not be done in a way which is klayim. That's to say, when you're making the when you're planting the karam. Okay? Now we go back. Now we're gonna have a contradiction. Rav Yudim Kaput Kiya, Balkumi Rav Yosi, Tamon Amrin, over the one place we said, Ein Zari Ilan Koyim Zron, that the seeds of trees are not considered seeds. That's why we said they could be sown together with the grain or the vegetable seeds, and it wouldn't be considered a violation of klayim because the klaye zroim is not a violation. You're not violating the isra of klaye zroim when you plant tree seeds. Okay, so they aren't considered seeds. It's got to be that halacha. The kanat omar zari ilan koyim zroim, and over here, now. Over here, you would never know what we're talking about unless you looked at the Mefarshim. Over here, we're talking about Heksher for Tumah, something we didn't mention at all. In fact, some people don't even understand what this Gemara is doing over here. But for the time being, the Gra has a way of explaining the Gemara as it's referring to Peah. But forget, without the Gra, everyone else is learning that the Gemara is talking about Heksher. And you know the rule with Heksher. The rule with Heksher is if you want something to become a Kabbal Tumah, you have to... has to become wet, merzono, right? In order for it to become wet. Now, what happens if you get a water? It says if the water goes on the seeds of the tree, then it is subject to the law of Heksher, and it will be mekabel tumah. So you see, they are called zroim. It says the pasuk called zera zeruah asher yizareya. So it says the idea of seeds by Heksher Tumah. So how come in one place, when it came to what? When it came to Klayim, we said it's not considered a seed, and when it comes to Heksher Tumah, it is considered a seed. That's the steer of the Gemara. The Gemara answers on Malay. So Rabbi Yossi answered him, Tamon mira kosov shein darach me'arim li'yos karno yisom zorim. Over there, by Klayim, it's not considered seeds. Ram hocha, but over here, when it comes to Tumah, Riva Akasa, the Pasuk says, Befeirish, a Pasuk, a Riboy, Akasara, Zeruah, Shayi, Zareya, that since there are extra words in the Pasuk, therefore, it's Marbe, it for Tumah. Now, is the boy Nishmeinam in Hacha? Some say we could say, learn it from over here, Kisiv Sarkamacha, That is to say, now we're really kind of like changing the topic. We're going back to our original topic. Some people want to learn, how do you know the idea that you, in order to be chayiv and peyah, that you have to have these five requirements that we mentioned in the Mishnah. So now, is the way nishmina ha'ocha, we could learn from this pasuk, kisiv tzor kamacha. So it says in the pasuk, lo safar acharecha. When you reap from your kerem, from your vineyard, so it says you shall not glean behind you. So we're not going to talk about what the pshuto shel mikra is. We're going to just talk about what the Gemara is going to use that for. Ma'at shma mina, or should we? Should we talk about the pashut pshat? Means you should not you leave it for the ger yosim and almana. Basically, it means that if you forgot something behind, this is the pasuk of shikha by when you're cutting down the grapes and you forgot something behind you. There's a din of shikha. You leave it for the poor person. Okay, so anyway, so what we're doing here is we're saying lo sefar acharecha matshrami. How do you know it from there? I'm Rabbi Yonah lo sedaktek. Don't lo sefar acharecha means don't be careful. Don't be makvid. I want to get every last ounce of value out of my property. No, you have some extra stuff there. Leave it for the aniyim. That's peah. Okay? Now, that's how we would learn grapes. Kama de same rabba. Ololamo olel. Olel is be exacting to them. For, what's that for? That's lamentations. Let all their wickedness come before you and be exacting, as you were exacting to me for all my transgressions. Hashem is extremely rigorous in his judgment, does not overlook any iniquity, large or small. You may beseech Hashem to avenge the wickedness of the enemy with the same exactness he used when punishing Jewish people. So anyway, so that's the idea of exactness. Olel acharecha, the same idea. Okay, now the second thing we have to see is another species, which is Zayas. Again, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Gemara is dafka picking out psukim, which are chiyuv d'oraisa. So that's why we're picking these two things. Ki sachbo zeischa, when you beat your olives, again, lo safar acharecha, you don't go behind you. So what's it talking about? Oh, I forgot to say, we're on 13a. I'm a little late in announcing that. We're on 13a2 now. Ma'ashamino, what reference to the pay do you see from this? Amar Biyana, lo sakifu pas reishchem. Just like you see, you don't round off the corners of your head. Payas are splendor and beauty of the head. So the Torah says you can't round them off. So an olive tree, too, it forbids removing its splendor, meaning the pay of the tree, which is the splendor of a tree. What's the splendor of a tree? That which you leave for the poor people. So these are two examples where the Torah is marva that there's an inyan of payah. So the Gemara says the following. Okay, even though it's just 9 o'clock, we'll just go a few more lines. Ma zayis v'kerem yucharem shalikasam ka'achas. So just like zayis and kerem are gathered as one. Machnisam l'kinyam they last. Chayam v'peya, and they are chayav v'peya. So av kol davar, so too everything else, which is like this. Shalikitasam ka'achasam, machnisam l'kinyam is chayavim.
Are there two criteria or five?
So now, this is very, very astute. Footnote 13, exactly, he notices this, what you just said. Shamsi just asked, are there five criteria, or now we only seem to mention, we only mentioned two of the criteria. Footnote 13 says, although the Mishnah listed five, the Gemara mentions only two. The reason is that these two criteria are unique to Peah, do not apply to Meiser. So only the first three criteria listed in our Mishnah, protected growth from the ground, are necessary to be chayev in Meiser. These additional criteria, to last and harvest it all at once, they're also necessary in order to be obligated for Peah. So it singled out the criteria which were the determining characteristics, but it didn't mean to leave them out on purpose to say as if we don't hold from them. Yeah. Okay, so fine. So imazai sekem uchiram shein chayvam bikurim chayov epeya. You might say, oh yeah, but these are also chayvam bikurim. I've called avishu chayv bikurim chayv epeya. Maybe only things which are chayvam bikurim are going to be chayvam epeya, nothing else. So the Gemara says, tamalam rikitzircha, afilu kitzir oires, afilu kitzir dochen. And that's where we'll stop right now. that it's that there's a special riboy of ketzircha that other things are also chayev. Ad kan. Akutanach. Everyone have a good day. Thank you for coming.
Recording stopped.